Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, hey, everybody. It's the Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's my good partner, on again, off again lover, Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
I'm so sorry to have dragged you away from your discussion about wood and construction.
I know what's up there, Drew?
Yeah, sorry. I'm apologizing.
Drew wanted me to do an interview on over the telephone, but he didn't say interview. He just said, here, talk to this guy, talk to this guy, talk to this guy.
Well, how much more could I get across to you while you're steeped in this discussion about 3x4s, or what were you talking about?
3x4s.
I heard 3x4s.
Hold on. There's no such 3x,
all right,
Drew.
All right.
1x, 2x, and 4x.
Okay.
3x. Oh, boy. Yeah, I'd like to see the looks on the guys behind the lumber counter when I ask for some 3x. Oh, man. They'd be like, hello, get the butterfly net. Yeah. 3x. Yeah, that'd be great, Drew. Build a whole house out of 3x. Yeah, that's great. What are you going to use, like a 12-penny nail? That's good. Man. That's good.
That's funny.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I was just talking about wood. Yeah, anyway. It's all good. It's all good. I'll call that guy back in a second there.
You seem very happy.
Yeah, well, no, I'm weirded out, really.
Why?
Well, not weirded out. I just had one of those days. I got up early this morning. I packed, I rushed, I got it together. Oh, I went to the airport, and I didn't make the flight.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
Oh, Jimmy is not a kind...
No, people. I wasn't traveling with Jimmy.
No, no.
But I was traveling to see Jimmy.
But he was expecting you.
Yes, he was.
Oh.
I broke the kid's heart.
Did he just beat the crap out of you?
Well, I was on the phone.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, no, I made the flight. I made the mistake of doing the Southwest airline. And, you know, here's what goes on there, kiddies, at the airport these days. They need to see a lot of stuff that says you're flying.
Yeah.
And when you fly Southwest, they give you an electronic ticket, an e-ticket, as they call it. So knowing that you don't actually have a ticket, you go to the airport armed with your ID,
right?
Because that's how you get your e-ticket when you, and if you have no baggage to check, you get your e-ticket at the gate.
Right. It's in Burbank.
In Burbank,
yeah.
Yes. But what you forget about is you cannot make it to the gate
anymore
through the security without a ticket. That's where the problem comes in.
Yeah, you got it.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
It would make a certain degree of sense for them to really kind of address that, seeing as how it's like you got to get you get your e-ticket at point B, but you can't get through point A without a ticket.
Right.
So it would seem like that'd be, you know.
No, you know,
but they have an itinerary or something. You need some documentation.
Right.
And if you travel a lot and you used to do it the old way for many years and they don't really hammer it home.
Right.
Just grab your e-ticket at the gate.
You wait in security for an hour and a half.
No.
And find out you can't get in.
You wait in security for an hour and a half. You get to the front of the line and the guy tells you,
go
to the Southwest, not the gate. Go to the
ticket counter.
Go to the ticket counter and go get yourself an itinerary.
Yeah.
It's not a ticket. It's just something that says you have a ticket.
Yeah, you're flying.
Right. Because as you all know, there's no way, there's no terrorist in his right mind that would spend $89 to fly two ways to Vegas. They're not those kind of people.
Right.
I mean, none of those 19 hijackers had tickets, Drew.
I see.
Not a one of them.
I see.
Not one of them.
Right.
None of them.
Right. They all got on without tickets, of course.
They all got on without tickets.
Of course.
That's not one. Not one. Or wait a minute. Did every one of them have a ticket?
First, a business class ticket.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll look into that later. Like this is a deterrent at this point. So now the guy who the white guy they recognize from cable is heading on back to go get the itinerary. And I go to Southwest, and as Southwest would have it, Southwest is really a bus with wings on it, really.
Huge
it's
line.
Fine.
Ticket counter, huge line. Huge.
There's 85 people
huge
in
line.
This line.
Yeah.
And and of course, and here's all I want out of life. I want more than one line.
Yeah.
Because I'm behind the handicapped couple from Oregon, who's checking the remains of their son, which is in a trunk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And all I need is my goddamn little flip-flop piece of paper to run back to the
thing.
What's
the beauty of Southwest? They've got all kinds of help walking around going, anyone leaving for Las Vegas at 12 o'clock?
Oh, yeah. Nothing but help. Yeah. Nothing but help. Real hands-on over there. First class all the way. So the guy says, so I look at this line, and there's 90 people in this line, and I'm looking at my watch. The flight's leaving in 25 minutes, how am I going to get it? So I hate doing this.
Yeah,
and I know everyone who listens thinks I'm some sort of prima donna prick, but Drew, you please back me up here.
I'll back up on this.
It's one of the most uncomfortable things in the world for me to even just slide in front and talk to somebody without waiting.
The shocking reality, and this is the reality of both of us, but shocking, I suppose, applies to you, is that you do not want to be seen or heard.
Thank you.
Period.
Who said that?
And you don't want to be made an exception for.
Everyone listen to me.
Well, when you're in front of a mic, okay.
But at the airport, I don't want anyone to go, what's that guy doing in front of me?
Right. Or would you please move aside for me?
I don't want any of that.
No way. Yeah.
But I looked at this line. There was 90 people in it. I looked at my watch. There was 25 minutes till the plane left. And I said, there's no way I'm going to get in the back of this line and get my itinerary. And by the way, see to me, this is something. I'm waiting behind people who are going to Alaska and stuff in 2 hours. I don't have any time, and I don't really need anything.
Yep.
So I go right. There's a guy standing there at the counter, just sort of not doing anything on the edge. I go to him. I go, look, I got to get this itinerary. He goes, what time's your flight? I said, 10:05. Hey, you'll make it. I said, I if I get in that line, I don't think I'm going to make it. Oh, that line's only about 15 minutes. You'll make it. I said, really? I really think if I'm not trying to do this, you know, I'm not trying to cut corners here, but I think if I get in the back of that line, I don't think I'm going to make my flight. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I said, okay. I got in the line and I stood there till about 10:03. And I got my thing and got through security about 10:05 and got down to the gate about 10:08.
Gone.
Sorry. So I stood there. And I thought, well, I'm really glad I got up really early this morning and glad I went through security twice and all that. They said, well, we got another flight leaving in 45 minutes. It's at gate 8, just around the corner. I turned the corner. It was just a mass of humanity. just 400 people standing in line, all standing around looking pissed off. And I looked at them and I looked at me and I said, nah, I'm going home. I'm just going home. So I went. I just went out to the parking lot, and I said, I'm going to I valet parked my car like I always do at Burbank. I need my car back. $20.
Oh, yeah.
I said, how much is it a day? $20. I said, let me check the ticket here. I pulled in at 9:32 is when I pulled in. It's 10:22 right now. It's 50 minutes. Yeah, it's $20. That's a day, though, right? Yeah. I said, in what universe does 50 minutes get squeezed into 24 hours? That's how it works. And I thought to myself, I said to these guys, I said, look, if any other business attempted to run themselves this way, they would be closed down by the federal government. The RICO Act would prohibit businesses from running this way.
Usury laws.
Yes, you cannot do this. This is impossible except for anything. And then the guy said the magic words, city of Burbank, parking. And I thought, yes, those cheap, horrible, horrible, horrible city people over in Burbank. Squeezing and raping. That should be their policy. You know, on the side of the car, it shouldn't say protect and serve. It should say to bilk and rape. To bilk and rape the public. To squeeze them like goddamn bar rags to get every last penny out of them. That's right. That's right. They see the city council does not see citizens. They see slot machines walking around. I'm sure of it. All right, that's what they hear every time a newborn is born in the Burbank Hospital. Cha-ching.
Now, they must, Jimmy must
$20.
The fun really must have begun then when Jimmy got a hold of you.
Yeah, well, he was fine. He was fine. I didn't have, it's fine. I'm going tomorrow morning. I'm leaving from LAX. I'm flying first class. Screw it.
Let's heal some babies!
I'm getting drunk. Craig?
Yeah.
21.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a problem, man. Keep on masturbating.
All right.
Okay. How many times a day?
To at least 7.
Dude, you beat off?
How? What do you do for a living?
I work at a carnival.
A carnival?
No, yeah. He doesn't. No, he doesn't. What do you do at the carnival?
Somebody works at a carnival.
I run a ride.
Which ride?
Roller coaster.
What's it called?
Just a kiddie coaster.
What's it called?
That's what it's called, the kiddie coaster.
What's on it?
Purple seats. Little bit of track.
Same track?
Track, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Coaster doesn't have a lot of stuff on it.
Kiddie coaster? Sometimes kiddie coasters have a theme, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes they can be...
What's the name?
Lights up top.
Lights. So. What's the name of the carnival?
Shaw and Sons.
Huh?
Shaw and Sons.
Shaw and Sons.
Boy, this guy's hovering very close to the edge here.
All right. Somebody's got to work bolt. And,
what color's your jumpsuit?
I'll wear a jumpsuit. Wear a red shirt.
Trick question.
All right. Okay. Aha. All right, do you beat off next to the kiddie coaster at work?
No.
All right.
This is at the work scenarios.
After work?
Yeah. I'm down the street, see a nice blonde, I'll run behind a building to beat off.
Oh, boy.
See a nice blonde, did he say?
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else going on, Craig? Are you taking medication?
Not at the time, no.
Are you supposed to be?
I was taking Prozac.
Okay. Do you have any addictions?
Marijuana.
Nothing else, though, right now?
No.
Were you ever sexually abused?
No.
Do you do maintenance on the kiddie coaster?
Sometimes.
Ooh. That's enough not to ride the kiddie coaster, right?
Were you ever physically abused growing up? No one ever hit you growing up?
I mean, I was... beat up a couple times when I was younger, but...
How busy does the carnival keep you? Do you travel around with it?
Yeah, I travel around with it, and I go home at the end of the year.
Ooh, where do you sleep? In one of the cars?
No, I got a house trailer.
Well, it goes behind the... Do you know somebody who runs the carnival? Is it a family member?
Yeah. Kind of like...
It's strange that we've never had a carny.
Every answer seems highly suspicious out of Craig, by the way.
Because it's so vague.
Right.
But we've never had a carny call into the show before. And strangely, two nights ago we were talking about the fact that Laura Keitlinger, our former co-host from the MTV Love Line, family was a bunch of carnies.
Yeah.
She used to tell me stories about them.
Not eerie, though.
She's not
peculiar. Craig?
Yeah.
How about cutting back to 5 times a day?
Anything else, Craig, happened? Have you ever had trouble controlling your impulse? Have you ever been caught for exposing yourself? Have you ever tried to rape anybody?
No, I haven't.
Okay. What about, you ever get oral from the bearded lady?
No.
Yeah, that's a bad scene. I tried that. I did that once. Pretty low.
That was the time. Bad time.
Oh, wait a minute. That was a dude. That's what, right. That was just a guy with a beard.
What's that, Craig?
So most of the time it's just picking up girls off the road.
Off the road? You mean like hitchhiking?
Ones you've run over? Hookers you've run over in your Jeep.
Uh-oh.
Can't you just see Craig there smoking his Winston with his red shirt undone and hot sun working on that kiddie coaster, smelling a beer and Quaaludes, telling your kid to...
Craig, I'm suspicious this masturbation may be part of your sort of overall addictive process.
You're not real impressed by Craig?
In what way?
Just in general, as a human being?
He's an impressive guy.
Well, what I'm saying is you smell some trouble.
Yeah.
Bigger, global issue.
Yeah, and in the little short amount of bit of information we can get from him, the only thing I can read is sort of an addiction. He's addicted to marijuana, he's addicted to masturbation, he's addicted to arousal.
Is anything wrong with him? He said 7 times. Can he just try to get it down to 3 times?
Yeah, he can, but he's not likely to because he's probably an addict, and he's hiding behind buildings every time he sees attractive women. You know, I mean, it's
I think he may have been using some metaphor there. I don't know, hyperbole.
I suspect not.
All right.
I suspect he barely makes it behind the buildings.
Okay. All right, so we'll do what? Slow down?
Yeah, if he really is interested in changing, and again, I know he may need a more thorough psychiatric evaluation, but he can start certainly with a 12-step process.
Get back and talk to whoever put him on his medication in the first place.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Shauna?
Hello?
You're 16. What's up?
Yeah. My dad is cheating on my mom,
And I found this out because about a month ago, I heard my mom yelling at my dad about him, you know, being with other girls, and she's curious about what's going on. And then I found out next that, you know, things, they worked it out. But about yesterday, I was eavesdropping on my dad's cell phone conversation.
No.
And I heard him say, these are his exact words. Okay, bye, baby. I love you, and I'll see you soon. And, okay, and that's it. And before I heard him call the girl, he called the girl Lisa, and that's not my mom's name. So I know he's cheating again.
Shauna, here's what's important.
Well,
you do not get involved with an asshole like your dad. Learn from this. When you're attracted to some guy, realize the guy you're attracted to is going to do this to you. So don't go out with guys you're super attracted to. Do you understand me?
This is my dad, though.
Huh?
This is my dad.
I'm not saying hate your dad. I'm not saying... your number one priority needs to be taking care of Shauna. And because your dad is who he is, that's the kind of person you're going to be attracted to. And you need to learn to read that and not go after those kinds of guys, because it's going to make you very unhappy.
Well, do you have a dilemma about telling your mom about this?
Well, I don't want them to get divorced, because this was really late at night that my dad came home and my mom started yelling. She was saying awful things like, you know, cussing, and I don't hear my mom cuss. She only cusses.
Can you confront your dad?
I've tried to kind of, you know, wheel him into like a trap. Like I ask, you know, Dad, who's that?
No.
Dug a hole in the living room, covered it with a bathrobe.
A net.
Put a six pack in the middle of it. He stepped in. He got his leg caught.
With a net on it. Catch him hanging upside down.
Oh, wait a minute.
But listen, Sean, it's not about catching.
Let me tell you something about you crazy broads with this stuff. Women have infinite energy for this stuff. I think back to producer Ann and producer Ann, her favorite hobby is milking them, I should say, for information about a bachelor party and then feeding the information back to their wife and stuff.
Yeah.
Little fire starter is exactly right. Now, here's the deal. I don't know. You're 16, you're like in the 11th grade, or you're knee-deep in high school. Everyone else I know's parents were divorced by the time they were 9. I mean, your parents are together till you're 16. That's a pretty good run. You're not... Hold on a second. Listen, you're not going to be able to do anything about this.
Well,
you're not going to be able to do anything
about
it.
That was my opening shot, was, hey, just take care of yourself and make sure you don't get attracted to this kind of guy. But she does have one play if she really wants to put some energy into it.
But I really don't want my parents to get divorced.
All right, so here's your one. This is your one shot, and it may or may not work.
Get cancer.
No, it's to go to Dad and say, "This, you are harming me. You are really hurting me. I know what you're doing. You're hurting Mom. It's killing me. I don't want you to get a divorce. Understand your behavior. Forget into getting specifics about it. Just say your behavior is harming me, and it's hurting your daughter badly. And if you care about me, you'll cut this crap out. That's it. That's your one play.
Play that.
Okay, right? And I have one more question.
And then you got to get on in life, and you got to go far away to college.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, thanks. And I have one more question.
Yeah.
Now, this is really, really, really different, but it's kind of gross.
Mm.
What happens is that I have this dog, and is it bad that my dog licks my crotch area? Because when I get horny, my dog, you know, since it's a dog and it likes to lick crotches there, I just let it do it and kind of feels good. Will I get any, like, diseases or anything?
No.
She won't? With that ringworm or something?
No, but...
Hoof and mouth?
How are your relationships?
With the dog?
No, with people.
Oh, I see. So
kind of crazy?
Do you talk to people? Why would you talk to people?
Your relationship's kind of crazy, Shauna?
What is it?
Are your relationships kind of crazy with boys?
No, not really.
What kind of dog is it?
Be very careful.
It's a Labrador.
You don't...
Well, Drew, what kind of dog would have been acceptable
to Chihuahua
perform oral sex on her?
Maybe a Cocker Spaniel.
Yeah, it's funny. Labs you kind of like. Chihuahua, it's like, yeah, get down there and eat it, you little crampy piece of ass. But Labs are kind of like, ah. Yeah. What, Black Lab?
No, Golden.
Yeah, try the Black one. The Black ones don't go down on chicks. It's true. Yeah.
So I'll be okay.
They'll bang the bejesus out of you, but they won't go down on anything that gets up in won't eat anything that gets up and walks away when they're done. That's what they, that's what they say.
In my experience, Sean, women that... And this is not an uncommon thing, believe it or not, but the women I've dealt with who admitted to this kind of thing usually have got some significant sort of characterologic stuff going on. They have difficulty knowing who they are, and particularly who they are in relationships. And this kind of family is a good source of those kinds of problems.
Let me defend young Shauna for one moment.
Who could defend? What's to defend? She's...
Well, I think we all... rush to judgment when we hear about someone whose dog is performing fellatio.
Did I judge her?
We rush to judgment.
Who's judging?
I saw the puss you put on when she talked about her dog giving her oral. And I think we all immediately jumped to some kind of place like somewhere between sadist and retard when we're thinking about the person. Satard. That would be my name if I came from another
planet. All I know is if you had a vagina, you'd have a kennel.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd have a kennel of trained dogs.
That's right.
You'd have to rotate them.
I would eat giblets just so it gave off that stink to attract young pets to my crotch. Here's what I'm saying. Many women discover some pleasure with this, with the vagina at some point, whether it be the bathtub or the vibrator, and they get kind of, they become like MacGyver. Because it's not okay for them to masturbate sometimes. Or it's not okay for them to get a vibrator. So they end up getting into back massagers and electric toothbrushes and bathtubs and jacuzzis and whirlpools. And they get real crazy with stuff. If a dog did this and you're like, hey, that feels good. I could see you going, I'll let him do it. Now, if you're rubbing pate on it twice a day, that's one thing. But just kind of letting him do it once in a while, I don't think that necessarily means you're a mess. It sounds very suspicious and pretty weird. But I think if you just step back from it, I mean, how much weirder is it than the bathtub in a certain sense? You know what I mean?
I'm just saying that in my experience, the women have that discussed that with me have been people with stuff.
It does, but every chick we know has done the tub.
Yeah.
Why is this so much weirder?
Because it's a mouth and not a spigot.
The spigot's what the tub has?
Yeah.
I see. I know, but you know what I'm saying. It's cheap pleasure and no one gets hurt.
Yeah, okay. I'm not passing judgment. I don't do that. I cringe, but I'm not judging.
I don't do that.
Do I judge? I have righteous indignation.
A week ago, you told one of our callers that if your kid went to Cal State Northridge, you would kill yourself.
Yeah, okay. Me.
I don't judge anybody else for doing that.
I've fallen asleep.
Tara, don't call me. Tara is fighting to escape academic probation. At that school that you speak about.
She just told me she's going out to GW. She's going to transfer to George Washington.
We were going to take ourselves a little break. Mm-hmm. Dr. Drew's over here. I'm here. When we come back, we'll speak to Carl, 22. Get severe hiccups. All right. Well, a very titillating and arousing call when we come back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Oh.
Let's hop back to the phones and chica, mugga, 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 chica, mugga, mugga, chica, chica, mugga, chica, mugga, mugga, chica, chica, mugga.
Yeah. Feels good, doesn't it?
Does feel good. We got to start a band. Missy?
Yeah?
You're 13?
Yes.
You're bisexual?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
At 13, how do you know what you are?
Well, you know, I know a lot more things than the average 13-year-old would.
Oh, well. I'm about ready to gamble.
Shwea, it just means you were sexually abused if you know more than the average 13-year-old.
What happened?
Actually, I don't ever recall any time like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how old were you when you started having sex?
Well, I haven't really...
7 months.
Had, not with guys, but, you know, I have with girls. I was about 10.
Yeah, that's sexual abuse, right? How old was the person?
Around the same age.
Yeah, well, child...
Not necessarily sexual abuse.
Child-on-child sexual abuse is a very common form of abuse.
Yeah, it's called
and
experimentation.
It screws... No, not if it becomes overtly sexual. What kind of activity were you getting into at 10?
just, you know, fingering and stuff.
Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough. A little more. Again, when it becomes towards arousal and overtly sexual and towards the orgasm, that is not normal. And that's because probably your friend was sexually abused by an adult, and then she starts doing weird stuff with her peers. And that's sexual abuse, and that screws with your wiring. You don't know what you are after that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just had a conversation with some friends about this stuff and about how you are about it. And how, you know, I was telling these guys, like, F word was like one of the first words I knew as a kid remembering. And I was talking to these guys, my friends, you know, keep in mind. But we were 6, 7, 8 years old. We knew what effing was and this was and how that worked and what it was for. And knew all that stuff. Yeah. And there was experimentation going on, too. And it wasn't, it was sexual in the sense that you knew it was naughty, but it wasn't driven because there was no juice in the tank. Right. You know what I'm saying?
The two guys on Dally you're talking about were both sexual compulsives. You're a compulsive masturbator. Okay, you make my point for me.
How dare you? All right, maybe it's right. Okay. I wept and masturbated at the Burbank Airport today.
God.
Hey, Missy.
Oh, my God.
You never been with a guy?
Not that way.
Ooh.
You know.
What way have you been with a guy?
I mean, just like going out, you know, kissing.
Yeah, all right.
That's about it.
Well, how do you know you're into guys, then?
Well, you know, I feel, like, attracted to them as well as I do girls.
All right. Well, what's up with your family? Are they screwy?
Well, when I was about 4, my parents divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse my language, but my stepdad's a real asshole.
All right, yeah, that sounds about right. Did he do anything? Did he hit you? Or
he's just, whenever I try to speak with my mom, he always gets in the way. And I talked to her the other night, and I told her that she might not notice it, but it kind of seems like she's like a Nazi following Hitler. Because, you know, it's just like how I see it.
Or a fembot.
Yeah. Following
Master Cylinder.
No, wait a minute. I thought the fembots were from the $6 million man or something.
No, it's from Spy Who Shagged Me.
Yeah, Austin Powers.
Austin
but
Powers.
Fembots were around before.
Really?
He ripped those off or something.
Oh, is that right?
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Oh, see, true. Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't know.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, you wouldn't know when someone's doing a send up of something because you never saw the original, never heard of anything. Interesting. You know that movie Airplane?
I do know about that.
It was a takeoff on those airport movies from the
airport
70s.
Movies.
Thank you,
yeah.
Missy.
Yeah.
So, hey, all right. So maybe you're bisexual.
Whatever. You sound like you've got a lot of stuff you're dealing with.
Well, actually, yes. I try to. You know, really,
you all,
I don't really.
You, do Missy, anything. You also sound smart.
Thanks.
Yeah,
and,
you do.
And you really ought to use that to your advantage. Does your school have any counselors or anything like that?
Well, yeah, but like, and when I was around in sixth grade, I used to get in a lot of trouble, so I don't feel comfortable talking to them.
Well, but maybe their job is to be there to help you. Maybe if you went back in there more willfully and more with the desire to get better, you'd have a different kind of relationship with them. Use those smarts to motivate you to get in and make some change, because you're going down a path that can get pretty out of control. And I'm not talking about sexually. I'm just turning the whole situation here is going to create a lot of difficult feelings.
All right. Now I will not rest until I know whether the fembots were originated on.
I wonder why you were so quiet.
$6 million man or the bionic woman. Or get smart. No.
Yeah, get smart.
I don't think get
smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drew, stop and think that you're.
I don't know what I'm
you
talking
think
about.
That that's what it is. Then that has to be a clue.
Right, yeah, good point.
All right, somebody's got to get on the computer and find out where the fembots came from. Who's that going to be, Tara?
Tara. Not if you call her Tara.
Tara. Cal State, Northridge alum.
GW.
She was on her way at the door and you said Tara.
Sorry, baby. Tara. It's, I don't know. Didn't your parents know this was going to happen? You know, let me tell you something. I know a... Drew's wife, Susan, and then I know another chick who spazzes out if you call her Susan because her name is Suzanne.
Mm.
Oh, I got to do it. Oh, drive me insane. Kat?
Hey.
Call Drew's old lady, Suzanne, she gets PO'd. You call Suzanne, Susan, she gets PO'd. Meanwhile, I can't even remember. I can't make a flight. Are you kidding me? Go ahead, Kat.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I have to admit I'm a little bit nervous to be on the air.
Oh, that's all right.
I'm first calling because yesterday I heard you complaining about your facial hair problem.
Just yesterday? That was the first time you heard
about it? That was Drew talking about my ingrown hairs on my neck.
That might be it.
Yeah.
There's a product called Magic Powder, and it's in the ethnic hair care section.
Yeah, yeah. We know this, that kind
now
of
what
stuff.
What do you do with that?
And I told him he should use it more frequently.
Well, you know, hold on.
I use that on every part of my body except my head, and it is amazing.
Are you white?
Yes, I'm white.
Do you need to go in with a black person to buy that stuff?
I don't think that they're going to card you and look for, you know, yeah.
They will not sell to honkies at those places.
You can pretty much get it at any drugstore.
What do they call it now?
It's called Magic Powder. It comes in four different kinds.
Is it that funky smelling stuff?
You know, it's all funky smelling except the silver one.
And what do you do with it?
You mix it with water and then you kind of use a cake frosting spatula.
You put it all over your body?
You frost yourself, basically.
Oh, and the hair just falls off?
Well, what you do is you wait 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds like a long time to sit still, but
God bless women with the stuff they go through for this.
And then you just take the same spatula that you frosted yourself with, and you scrape it all off.
And all you gotta do is rub in a patch on your neck. She's doing it every inch of her body.
I know, but listen.
Knuckles don't have
Drew,
hair.
Drew, you are talking to the man who, if there are no socks or T-shirt downstairs, will then pull the jacket over his bare body and come into work because he's too goddamn lazy to go upstairs and get a T-shirt. That's who you're talking to, Drew. Yeah. You know, you understand, most problems I have are very easy to solve, but I have zero, I cannot burn one calorie toward them.
You need like a...
I need an elf is what I need.
Yeah,
you understand?
I need a little
kazoo.
Kazoo, you know, like a little,
kazoo
a little,
from
a little,
the Flintstones.
Sort of an Asian guy, a little, you know what I mean? Somebody.
Why do you have to get ethnic all the time?
What, I'm thinking of there's a character. No, stop it. What was the guy that had a character, an Asian caretaker?
Well, Asian. Oh, well.
Little.
Okay, well, now hold on. There was Mrs. Livingston from The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
Yeah, Kato.
And then there was Kato from the Green Hornet.
I think I'm thinking of Kato.
And there was also a Kato from the Pink Panther Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And then there was the Hop Sing, the cook from Bonanza.
Mm.
Those are all the most famous Asians in the world.
Weren't there a cartoon? Wasn't there a cartoon?
Wow!
Wasn't there a cartoon with that?
Johnny Quest had that Indian kid, Haji.
Haji.
I could use Haji. I need somebody. I need a second. I need someone to do my bidding.
Haji can make you levitate too.
Someone to rub this lather on my neck so the hair falls out. Thank you. I would
love to help you, Adam. Mm.
Thank you. Are you Asian?
No.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
No. It's not going to work. Mm. But thank you for the advice.
Cartoon.
Okay, I have another question.
Cartoon.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, actually, it's a really loaded question. I have no history of abuse. I don't do any drugs. I don't drink. I'm really a pretty straight-edge kind of girl. But I can't seem to get sexually aroused unless there's some sort of violence, some sort of infliction of pain. And I've been into the BDSM scene since I was old enough to get in, pretty much.
The what?
But it's bondage.
Yeah, well, it's not really. I'm not into BDSM. I'm into DNS, which is dominance and submission, and S&M, which is sadism and masochism.
And the BDSM?
Yeah, I don't get into being tied up, so the bondage part doesn't really count.
It's the bondage and sadomasochism?
Bondage, dominance, and
what? Bondage and discipline, dominant submission, and sadism and masochism.
Whatever.
That whole
submission.
Thing.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
All right.
So, you know, foreplay for me pretty much consists of grabbing me by the back of my head, slapping me around, slamming me against the wall.
But you actually, it's not playfully. It has to be done with...
I want it to be done forcefully.
But you have to hurt.
Yeah, if he's checking in with me and saying, are you okay, it's really ruining it for me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And it's not a big deal because I have enough... you know, friends who are in the scene that can do all of these things for me, but I'm starting to think, you know, maybe there's something about this.
Well, what do you want? Like, would you give the guy a BJ when he was doing that?
Well, sure. You know, as long as he's being competent and forceful, I feel like, you know, I'm safe and controlled.
Does he do stuff for you? Does he go down on you?
Very few guys are really into that whole eat out you know, the girl thing.
What?
I look for them a lot.
Wait a minute.
They aren't that easy to find.
What?
Well, not in that business.
Yeah, not in Seattle.
Well, no, I mean, not in the BDSM business.
Well, then you get a dominant guy, and if he were to service a girl, yeah, I know, you know.
Yeah, it goes against the code.
Yeah, you don't.
But how can you dominate and go down on a chick?
Because I'm anticlimactic anyway.
What is, you mean you don't have an orgasm?
I don't have orgasms when I'm with other people.
All right.
Oh,
so it's
boy.
Not like I care whether or not they go down on me. It's just all part of it.
I'll tell you, between this and the depilatory, you and I could hang.
You know what?
I think we could. You're just blowing me while I'm pulling
well,
the ingrown.
No, I'm not going to put my mouth on your frosted. Yeah, that's not going to work.
No, you go down on the penis.
Oh, while you do it on your
and
face.
And I actually pull stuff out of my neck. Yeah,
I see.
Yeah, ingrown hairs.
And you pull her hair, too.
All right. Hey, I don't know what her deal is.
Well, it'd be...
Is there a certain percentage of people that are into this?
Oh, sure.
Just born to do this?
Yeah, but...
Well, look, if you can be... hold on. I don't want to offend the gay listeners, but if you can be biologically born into blowing dudes, don't you think spanking a little ass is within God's spectrum?
Of biology?
Yes. Would you say?
There's no doubt. Like with any human behavior, it's a little biology, a little environment. But yeah. I'm curious that she was very clear that what this did for her. Most people that are into this stuff aren't as clear about what function it serves for them. She said it makes her feel safe to feel sexual. She can't feel sexual unless she's being dominated, because then she feels safe to feel
sexual.
She
just wants to have somebody over her.
No, she said that.
Yeah, I know, but I heard it too. But Kat?
Yeah, I'm here.
I mean, you want to feel like someone is in control, otherwise you might feel out of control. You think that's true?
That's part of it.
Is your dad a pussy?
No, my dad is actually a very dominant guy, and my mom was always very submissive to him. But there was no abuse in their relationship. He never did anything violent.
But did you always have a sense of him being a very aggressive guy, even though he didn't act it out?
Yeah. I mean, I see a lot of. I took a lot of psychology in college, and I did figure a bunch of it out.
What?
You know that my dad. You know that I'm attracted to dominant men because my dad is a dominant man. And, you know, the physical strength because he's a large guy. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff. But there's more to it. Like, I'm even into the age play aspect of it, where, you know, you do daddy's little girl roles or Catholic.
All right. So doesn't that suggest maybe you're sort of stuck developmentally in some way?
And I'm thinking it's never too late to have a happy childhood, but eventually I want to be working towards something.
Oh, yeah, it's too late. It's too late for me, Andrew.
An adult relationship.
Then therapy. Therapy. There you go.
Therapy. Right, let's just say hi to Jenny. I know we're running late for break. Jenny?
Yeah.
20?
Huh? Yes.
No guy, and every few girls can get her on. Oh, very few girls. Are you bisexual?
Yes.
And are you not into guys? I mean...
Well, I'm more into guys than chicks. Sometimes I like to play with girls.
What'd you call
chicks?
Chicks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right there, baby. Well, hold on a second. Why don't you tell me like a good lesbian story when we come back, all right?
All right.
Pull up, save a good one. And
you're lesbian.
We'll be back and talk to Jenny about that after this.
Loveline.
Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. When we left off, we're speaking to, talking about Jenny.
Yeah.
You're 20.
Yeah.
So you like the ladies?
I do. I prefer penis, but I don't know.
Not man, just penis. Peni.
What?
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
What's your question for us?
Like I was telling the guy from before, I've played with a lot of people, but I've never been able to get off in front of somebody. I can masturbate just fine, and I've tried to teach people, but I don't know.
Try to teach people how to do that to you?
Yeah.
Were those men or women?
Hmm?
Were those men or women you tried to teach?
Both.
Both. And nobody, you couldn't hang with that, or they couldn't do it, or what happened with that?
Well, it's kind of been both. It used to be just that I felt bad that it would take so long, so I'd stop people. Mm. But I haven't done that with my boyfriend, and I don't know. I get pretty turned on when we play, but it was really interesting because I was listening to Kat's story, because me and my boyfriend are in the BDSM stuff, which gets me pretty turned on, but I know by the point we have sex, I'm like, eh, whatever. You know, I get pretty bored. And
well,
I
don't.
All right. Well, are you screwy?
Screwy?
Yeah. You got any problems? You're kind of weird.
I don't know if you call them problems. I am in therapy right now for previous stuff, which is probably my problem with in bed.
Well,
what happened? What was
Well, I was diagnosed with menopause when I was 18. I don't know. My father died when I was 13.
Of what?
Of hepatitis C.
So he was a heroin addict?
Junkie?
Yeah.
No, he gave me some excuse when I was younger, but he was probably... I know when I was young, my parents used to be into partying still, and they did a lot of drugs. And
he was an IV drug user, for sure.
Probably.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Now it looks like my mom has the same problem.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, I didn't have a perfect
childhood.
So
you got some, no, far from
trying
it.
To work on it.
All right, well, good. You know what's interesting is that when you look at the biology of how your brain develops, and when you've been in these highly, highly...
I'm just angry because she used the S word for no reason on the air. It's like you go, your dad died from complications of hepatitis. You're like, he was a junkie. No, he gave me some BS story about doing drugs. And it's like, just say yes.
Yeah.
Just say yes, everybody. Just yes to everything.
But your brain develops, is that if you have overly arousing experiences, it can actually change the structure of your brain. It sort of prunes itself.
No.
And so your ability to respond to arousal normally becomes kind of blunted in some situations.
Yeah, because like I was saying earlier, I feel like I'm like undersensitive. Like it takes
time. Right. Well, you grow up in a pretty, in the spin cycle.
And what, what's fascinating to me is that
a coin-op laundry machine.
Adam, you had an under-stimulating environment you were grown in, you have a similar kind of thing where your engine doesn't run at a normal pace.
Yeah, right.
And this woman, it was had overly arousing, and the brain sort of cleans out that area. The interconnections of the brain prune down.
Right.
And she can't get her engine going.
Right.
It's interesting.
Yeah. The Corollas aren't what you call personality driven folks.
No. Not connected.
Yeah. No. My mom was quite a showman, though.
Freak out.
My mom would just smoke weed and nap all day, and my dad's idea of a good conversation was just reading a book. not a big talker.
But so you didn't get the normal sort of autonomic development. You're not autonomic. You're in diet.
Well, let's
no, it's true.
I mean, to be fair to my parents, I had TV.
Yeah, it probably helped a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, they did have enough sense to get a TV.
And then this girl we were just talking to, Jenny, things were so arousing that she had to sort of screen out in order to survive.
Right.
It's very interesting. Now
just stick with the therapy.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
our answer.
We have two callers, both of whom have different opinions about where the term fembot came from. It's Wes and Kevin.
Wes, Kevin?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hey,
what's up?
Not much.
Yeah, Drew... Drew, we somehow stumbled on Fembot. I think Drew brought it up a few moments ago. And then I said what? I said something, and Drew said, well, that is from...
No, you said, somebody said Get Smart, and I thought, oh, that seems like where I've heard it.
Hold on a second.
Somebody in there said...
No, here's what happened. The Fembot came up.
Yes.
And you said that's from Austin Powers.
Right.
That's right. And I said, no.
Yeah, and I said, well, I didn't think about that.
That doesn't sound right.
And somebody said something.
And Drew, and as I pointed out, if you know it came from a certain, if there's some piece of...
American cultural history
that you're aware of, you got to know you're wrong.
Yeah, of course.
So I said what? What was my answer?
You said $6 Million Man.
Or?
Or Bionic Woman.
Thank you. Now, what is the answer?
Which is basically the same show, right?
Well, no.
Drew was definitely wrong.
Of course. We've established that.
Yeah.
The thing I got was Bionic Woman.
Where'd you get that?
I searched for it online. I found it at actually a $6 Million Man and Bionic Woman site.
That's Kevin.
Be closely linked together.
Well, I think what could have happened, and now Wes, you say it's the $6 Million Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, what I think...
Probably not as direct as his, but...
What I think happened, and by the way, you guys are going to make a great gay couple one day. I'm going to get you two together. You guys can sit up and look up nonsense all night long. I think what happened was is the Fembots may have started off on one show and made it onto the next.
Right, the show became about the Fembots, right?
No. Like the Fembots showed up, did battle with the $6 million man, and then a season later showed up and did battle with the Bionic Woman.
Right, yeah. Fembots were bad guys.
Oh, yeah. Right. Fembots are not... Anything with the word bot in it is no good.
Robot, Fembot.
And Adam.
Yeah.
I called in a few weeks ago with the answer to the Allman Brothers question.
Tied to the whipping post?
Yep.
Oh. What was the answer to that, though?
You were wondering who it was by, and you thought it was by the Allman Brothers. I just confirmed it. So.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Wes.
Adam.
Yes.
Do you think you can do me a favor?
Yeah. And
play the Dr. Drew Boogie?
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that after the break.
Come back.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for the work.
What? Chris. Anderson White. He's tired of that.
You know what I really. You know what I like about this radio? I don't. This is how I want life to be. Which is
you ask something.
I don't know how to work a computer, but if I can yell into a microphone, if someone can give me an answer, then they give it to me.
Yeah. So you don't have to worry about the computer.
Ironically, I only get the answers that I get in advance.
That you already know the answer
to? The ones I don't have the answer to, we never get a satisfactory answer for.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. And then, or maybe it just goes down that way. We'll take a little break. We'll be back with more pressing issues like fembotism after this. Oh, I wasn't ready.
Whatever.
I wasn't focused. I thought it was on the next downbeat. Hey, it's Loveline. You want to try it again?
No. It's kind of a relief having you screw that up. It's good. Let's keep going.
All right. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's true. I just found out our security guard didn't know the Village People were gay.
What did he think they were?
Just one hell of a rock band, I guess.
Just perpetual what?
He's a security guard.
Okay, here we go.
Me and Damien were just having a interesting conversation.
Did he argue with you?
No, he was just standing by while we were having a laugh about the Village People and about how no one, you know, why didn't we know they were gay when they came out, you know, 15 or 20 years ago, or 20-something years ago. Well, I was saying that when Village People made the scene in the late 70s, I'd say, 78, 79, all my friends were 13 years old, and we thought, hey, look at this funny dress-up band.
Well, you bought that first song. What was the first one?
Well...
Because when the YMCA one hit, everyone went, oh, okay, all right.
In the Navy should have been a tip-off to a lot of the boys, too.
There was one
too.
Before YMCA there, wasn't there?
Felch Me? I can't think of the name of that
one. That came later, this album, too.
Here's my point. I'm saying that that gays were not in the mainstream. No one was talking. You didn't hear radio DJs making fun of these guys.
Right.
Think about what radio DJs would be like now if you're playing the Village People. They'd be making all the offhanded remarks and jokes and, double entendres and things like that, right?
Yeah.
And I was saying to Damien, well, look, we were 12, 13 years old. What the hell did we know from gay? Where were all the older...
My kids, eight,
nine. Where were the older brothers? Where was...
They're with their male friends.
Why weren't they yelling at us, these guys are fags? You see what I'm saying?
They didn't know, yeah.
They didn't know either.
But my kid's interesting. They seem to understand.
Neither does our security guard, but he's... that was...
long time ago. My kids seem to understand what this is. It's interesting. And they don't seem to have a negative...
They understand the gay thing.
Yeah. I'm watching them kind of sort of grapple and stuff. They're, all right. They kind of, well, whatever.
Yeah.
They don't have a negative, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they grew up. I mean, is it true that your kids or kids around that age may be sort of the first generation just to grow up with gay politicians, gay actors?
It seems like it. That sort of 8 to 12 age group, which is what I'm watching because my own kids are 9, they seem to have. They don't see color. They have trouble even describing people of different racial ethnicities.
Oh, well, that's wrong. That's wrong.
I mean, they'll kind of go, well, this guy has kind of brown skin and curly hair, but they won't say, they have no idea of, you know, what that means or that you could group people like that together. Just, my friend has brown skin and curly hair. That's it, period. And the same thing with the gay thing. It's like, okay, all right, they're gay. Oh, the two boys like each other. All right, got it. All right.
Well, I've told you, I worry a lot about the humor of this new culture.
That there'll be no humor, it'll be humorless if we can't categorize people.
Without...
Well, they'll always be profiling at them. It'll be fine. Don't worry.
The Polacks and the Guineas and the Mix. You know, and the homo jokes. I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm worried because
Don Rickles will be forgotten.
That's the backbone of almost all good jokes and good young humors. That Polack humor, Carol.
Yeah, one fembot said to another, "No,
you're 50. What's up?"
It was John Houseman that was their controller.
John Houseman.
From the Paper Chase.
Uh-huh.
And also from the Smith. Was he from the Smith Barney commercials too?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah.
The old fashioned way.
Yeah.
They earned it.
Yeah. Well, back to the point.
He was the controllers of the fembots.
Yeah, remember they were changing the weather?
The fembots were.
Yeah.
Right. They had like a storm front in their vaginas.
Something like
they
that.
They would let them out.
Yeah, fire exactly.
Them
out.
Yeah. And was that $6 million?
That's a bionic
woman. Yeah.
For sure.
Okay.
For sure.
All right.
I know that not from the net, but from watching.
I was reminded tonight also that I was watching that 70s show and they had a thing about a UFO and I thought, you know, the whole UFO thing has died out recently too.
Yeah.
We need more UFO humor and more, you know?
Yeah, we need to get back to basics.
We've gotten so sophisticated with the X-Files and all this stuff. This whole fantasy life, it's not a UFO anymore. It's
they can explain everything.
Yeah, they explain everything.
Yeah, and we've gotten all caught up in the reality of terrorism and we're missing that sort of bizarre abduction fantasy stuff we used to get mired in.
Reality is something we're more focused on right now.
All right there, Carol. What else? Anything?
You two are my gods.
Thanks.
Oh, Carol.
What's up with you? I mean,
you have kids?
No.
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 What happened?
It's a long story, Drew, but you've helped me piece a lot of it together.
Oh, God bless you.
Nothing bad, but...
Are you doing okay now? You happy? What's the matter?
Got some movements to make still, yeah.
What's the matter?
Yeah, do you answer your email, Drew?
At drew.com?
Yeah, at drdrew.com or loveline.com.
It doesn't go directly to me, but it's supposed to get to me, so go ahead and send something.
There's a loveline.com?
Yes.
Earthlink or something?
She's laughing like I'm kidding.
Stuff does get to me, though, the emails. But drew.com, I get them like every month or so go ahead and send something there.
You know what I find interesting about this show? I know I've created it myself. I mean, this vacuum I live in. But I always had this fantasy that if you did a radio show, especially a national one, you'd be...
Inundated with mail. People bring sacks of letters in for you.
Sacks of mail, requests. Yeah. I'd make a Polack joke. We get a bunch of mail on it. Drew, you sit here every night, right?
That's the people we're listening to.
How many pieces of mail do you think I get a year?
We don't know because we don't see it. They know better than even bring it by you. You yell at people if they bring you mail.
How dare you?
Are you kidding?
You know I like the complimentary stuff.
Where's Lauren? She's not here tonight.
Okay. I don't think I see four pieces of mail all year. Maybe.
If it's food, we see it.
I got some stuff on the internet to show you.
Okay. You got stuff on the internet?
Like tons of letters. We don't have a loveline.com.
There isn't. Yeah.
Loveline.com is actually like a dating service or something. But there is one called adamandrew.com.
Oh, there is.
And there's tons of like message board stuff for you guys.
Oh, okay.
No, we've never seen
I've never seen that.
Seriously, go to drdrew.com because there's actually people that review that stuff and get it to me. So,
Carl?
Hey.
You're 22?
Yeah.
What's up?
My girlfriend was actually on with David Alan Greer last week, or I guess the week before that. She was the one who wanted to have kids just so she could beat them.
I don't respect the storytelling.
Yeah, she didn't like kids.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't want to have kids just so she could beat them.
She said that's the only reason she'd have them.
She didn't like kids.
Well, yeah. Anyhow, she didn't give any respect to Dr. Drew, but she did say that she was glad to talk to you, Adam, but she wanted to let me know that Dr. Drew, she was happy to talk to you, too.
That's nice. I feel I've been bothered by that all week, too, Adam.
Well, you said something about it. You said, like, oh, you know, everyone likes that Adam, but no one likes me. So, anyhow, my problem
like
is
me.
That I get really, really, really bad hiccups.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the time. And, I mean, I would say once every 3 days, I get hiccups.
How long has that been happening for?
It's happened as far back as I can remember, but they've been getting worse and worse as I get older.
Do you take any medication?
No, I don't take any medication.
Do you have heartburn?
Heartburn? I eat a lot of spicy food, but, I mean, I don't think I really get heartburn. I have a problem with that or anything.
Do you drink much alcohol?
None.
One of the ways you can get hiccups is by causing an irritation of the esophagus or gastric lining, stomach lining.
I wonder if it's because I eat the spicy foods.
It's possible. The other thing you worry about is something going on under the diaphragm, something, you know, pushing up on the diaphragm or irritating something under the liver.
Why does booze give you the hiccups?
Because it causes gastritis. That, in my experience, that's been the primary issue. That people get these horrible erosions in their esophagus and their stomach.
Erosions? No, I just mean if you get drunk one night, you'll sometimes get the hiccups.
Yeah, you can get nasty irritation in your stomach just one night.
But you don't feel the irritation.
Not necessarily, no.
It seems to happen actually more when I'm in, like, it really always happens when I'm on a long car ride. Does that have anything to do with it? Like, if I'm on a long car ride for more than a couple hours, I'm guaranteed to get hiccups.
I wonder, you know, I'm just speculating.
You hang your mouth out the window?
You may not breathe as deeply, and you may not sort of stretch the diaphragm, and maybe it starts to spasm a little bit.
Maybe I think he's got the lamp belt too tight or something, and he's sitting down, or...
You know, you don't expand your lungs normally when you're sitting like that.
Well, not when you got a belt pulled across you, too.
Yeah, and so maybe that causes, just like with any other muscle that's sort of restricted, sometimes it'll start to spasm on you.
All right. Well, what should he do?
I think you should talk to his doctor about it just so they can make sure that there isn't something going on. They may want to treat him for gastritis for a few weeks just to see if that helps. Yeah. And then nothing.
You don't hear much hiccup humor anymore either. It used to be woven into here's some hiccup humor.
The guy that would dump his bottle out after seeing a hallucination or thinking he saw a hallucination be hiccuping.
Any drunk on TV was a hiccuper.
You know what? Foster Brooks had that so mastered, I think it just went away.
There was always hiccuping going on for drinkers, but there was always like an episode on a sitcom, too, where somebody got nervous. And when they got nervous, they got the hiccups. And now it was time to give the presentation in front of the boardroom.
Right. A woman. Always a woman, too.
No, right. Untrue.
Really?
What do you mean always a woman for the hiccups?
Because a guy having hiccups isn't funny.
Untrue.
All right.
I think it's plenty funny when a guy has the hiccups.
All right.
Watch.
See?
No, not funny. I'm just saying that there used to be a place in sitcoms for guys getting the hiccups.
Yeah.
And then you would have to scare them in order to try to get rid of the hiccups, and the hilarity ensued.
Yeah.
Sarah?
Hi. I just wanted to say, first of all, that I love you guys and I listen all the time.
Thanks.
And my question is, actually, I was giving a hand job the other night to a guy, and I noticed, like, on the shaft, there was, like, a bump or two.
Mm.
And so I was just calling to find out, like, if that's something possibly normal or...
Did you see it?
No, I didn't, because it was dark.
So you have to kind of see what it looks like. It could be obvious a wart.
Yeah.
There are other sort of irregularities there that can be normal.
Okay. So it's possibly something...
Possible, but the wart's a common thing.
Yeah. How would you suggest going about bringing it up? Because it's somebody that I like, so...
Well, what is it you're afraid of if you bring it up? That he's going to be offended and run away?
I don't know, but I'm thinking it'd probably be something, like, uncomfortable.
No, I think more than anything... Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, this. If he would bring it up, if he has warts, he's going to be like, oh, Christ, she's going to leave me.
Okay.
And if he doesn't have warts, he's going to be, whatever. You gave me a hand job. It's fine. I'm happy.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Is that a guy going to be bothered by that? Offended his delicate sensibilities? She thinks I have warts. Oh, my God.
Well, look, you got to look at it this way. In a perfect world, this guy wished the warts were never there and no one ever knew about him. But this is sort of the second best scenario.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying. There's certain things that you got to deal with when you become a couple, you know,
right.
and this can often be one of them, and short of it not existing, this is probably the second best.
Right, you find it ahead of time before it's a problem. He knows he's got it. You bring it up. You deal with it, and that's that.
Yeah, and he knows,
or he doesn't have.
And he knows you're interested because you're interested.
Okay,
that's why you're interested.
Okay.
Hey, did this guy have an orgasm?
No. I kind of freaked out. Like, I didn't... Well, I didn't let him know, but I, like, didn't, like, finish the job. So.
Half a handy?
Yeah, kind
that's,
of.
That's punishable by death in
Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, yeah. Sure. You get a good beating.
Great.
For that.
And
where were you guys when you were doing this?
In his room.
In his room?
Yeah.
Was he sitting or standing or lying down?
Oh my God. We were laying down.
Does he look? Oh. Wow.
See, when I lay down and I get the hand, I'm waiting on the mouth.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
My penis is like, let's go.
Continue, like, not knowing.
Would you have given the mouth had you not felt the?
No,
bumps?
Because I don't know him that well, and I don't want to get anything.
This was his house, his home?
Yeah.
Not his parents' home?
No, I'm away at school, so.
Oh, See, he's a student too at Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
All right.
So, well, and then if he did have warts, like, as far as contracting HPV for me, like, what...
Wear the condoms. He should get them treated before you...
You're not going to get anything on your hand, though.
No. But, I mean, like, if we were to continue...
The less wart, the less virus, basically.
Okay, and is it possible for me to get the virus without the warts present?
Yes. He should wear a condom no matter what.
So, always. Okay.
All right.
All right. Yeah, good times there, baby. I don't know. Just talk. I don't know. It's uncomfortable to talk to people about this stuff.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Why?
Why?
You've been doing this for 5 years.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I mean them.
Oh, them? You mean
them? Oh, for me, I don't care. You thought I was uncomfortable. It's going to be weird for her to bring it up.
Yeah, the initiation is the hardest part.
Yeah. Oh, let me just hold on a second. Sarah?
Yeah.
Where do you come from? Where do you hail from?
Oh, where am I at school?
No.
Or I'm from the Bay Area, California.
Mm. Okay. Maybe you'll go
You're
back.
You're gay.
After Santa Barbara?
Huh?
Will you go back home after Santa Barbara?
No, probably not.
Stay in Santa Barbara?
Who leaves
no.
Santa? What?
I want to stay in Southern California, but not Santa Barbara.
What?
Okay. just get out of there eventually, would you?
Why? Oh, yeah. Why?
I just saw some friends because another friend got married. And, you know, a lot of people I know who went to school in Santa Barbara, they had trouble leaving.
Where are they going to go to? Where are you going to go after that?
Well, here's the deal with college. It theoretically, it's a stepping stone, not a final destination. I mean, life is about progression, and theoretically, it's about getting better in a way.
You start in heaven, where are you going?
That's right. Were you supposed to just move to purgatory?
Yeah.
After that?
Yeah.
Isn't there purgatory, Utah? No.
Arizona?
Purgatory?
Arizona?
Oh, damn.
Arizona.
Maybe? Really? I thought it was a ski resort.
California.
Ski resort?
Yes.
Okay, anyway, here's my point. You go to Santa Barbara, and here's what you do. You live on a cliff that overlooks the ocean. You live in this community that's nothing but a bunch of the hottest looking chicks from around the country. Everybody walks around wearing shorts and thongs and riding skateboards all day, and you do nothing but smoke weed and surf. And the college you go to looks like just like a beautiful
resort,
like a golf resort.
Yeah.
Like going to school at Santa Barbara is what rich people do 4 days out of the year if they work hard enough.
What everyone strives to do 4 days out of the year.
Right. So why the hell are you moving? I know people that went there. They got themselves. They went to school there for like 4 or 5 years, and then it was time to go take some entry level piece of ass job out here in the San Fernando Valley.
No way.
No way. Why not just work at a skateboard shop in Santa Barbara? You'd still be happier.
Is that what they're doing?
Some of them just took like regular jobs and said, "Screw it, smoke some weed, live by the beach, make enough to pay the bills, get a dog, steal a little cable from the neighbor."
Isn't that kind of catching up with them now?
Nah, if you don't have kids, it's kind of like, meh. I mean, who's the joke on? They're happier.
Oh, that's my
probably.
Question. I can't imagine not, you know, you eventually don't have meaning in life with that, you know?
Yeah, I meaning in life, you don't have kids or you don't make money.
Okay, let's get line one here.
James?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I called to rebut a statement that you guys just made,
uh-huh.
or at least add clarification to it.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to say thank you to Dr. Drew. I appreciate his psychodynamic approach to psychology. And concerning the rebuttal or clarification, you can transmit HPV through digital manipulation.
Yes, you can.
You mean you can get it
in her hand. There is such a thing, and you can give it from the hand to the genitals.
Correct.
But it
doesn't happen. It tends not to happen. It's rather rare. And
it does happen.
And the dermatologist.
But hold on, Jack Hole.
Oh, dude, man, I like your language.
I am not interested in telling people what could happen 1/10 of 1% of the time.
But it did happen.
To who?
And so, to someone that I know who works in the medical profession. And it did happen.
It did.
So therefore, I think if you're going to be,
Hang on a second. Wait, hang on a second.
Huh?
Hang on. Our point was, what we said was, it can happen, but it didn't happen to you. Don't worry about it because it's so unusual. So rare. My friends are dermatologists.
You didn't say that. You said it can't happen.
Won't even test for it because it just doesn't.
I understand that But tell me the story.
What happened to this person? Tell me exactly.
They were involved in digital manipulation of the genitalia, and she contracted HPV from it.
Wait. This was a medical transmission? Or a social,
two people being intimate.
And so what does the fact that she's a medical professional have to do with it?
Well, but I mean, so she would be more aware than maybe the commoner per se, the one who doesn't have any medical training.
Okay, so she got it from a male man's penis?
No, through digital manipulation.
Right.
Well, no way. I understand.
Hold on. What's going on with you?
Listen.
I like to shake your head and it sound like a spray can.
Hey, by the way, so she thinks the guy had it on. Wait a minute. Let's examine this.
I examined it an hour ago.
No, listen. She thinks the guy had it on his hands. I thought she got it on her.
He did admit that he had it and it was on his hands. Correct.
And how does she know that she didn't get it from some earlier contact, since it can sit dormant forever? That's a very
good point.
And so,
her last intimate was this gentleman.
But it could have been five intimates ago that she actually contracted the virus.
That's a possibility also.
In fact, that's
however,
the higher probability.
It is not beyond reason to suggest, or at least alert your public, that digital manipulation, you still can transmit it.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
The rarity is much greater.
Absolutely. But James, what we're trying to do is stay as close to real as possible. And so, if it's rare, we want to also state it's rare, and you know, maybe shouldn't worry about it so much. But I agree. We also want to be accurate.
Well, yeah. Look, I'll tell you the problem. I mean, for me in that, this society drives me insane with all their, they don't know the difference between 1% and 75%.
Right, and that's what we're trying to clarify for people.
They just don't, and you hear it all the time, and it, to me, this whole AIDS thing turned into that. They would take a group that wasn't in a high-risk situation and tell them that everyone was in high risk, and that everybody had this opportunity, and it bothers me. I don't like it. I here's what I want to deal with as a lay person when I'm talking to anybody about the possibility of anything that I'm not aware of, that I'm not an expert in. I want to look at a big roulette wheel, just a big spinning wheel at the in the casino.
Yeah.
That's the wheel of destiny.
Wheel of destiny.
And if you're telling me, well, there's a small percentage that you could pick. There's a likelihood that it's possible that you could pick it up. If you're saying to me that it's one sliver out of 100, I'll spin that wheel every time and never think about it if it's a nonsense thing.
If it's 25.
But I don't want you to paint it as half the wheel when it's one sliver.
When it's one 100th.
Right. And we don't get that in this society. If it's one 100th, then we get half the wheel.
I just think that's because in media, generally, people talk down to the public.
They talk, not
they,
only...
They dumb down their messages because they believe they can't handle the accurate stuff.
Not only that, but they just say, well, it's them. I mean, screw them. What would be dangerous? Let's suppose you have a 1 million chance of getting AIDS. What's wrong with telling them you got a 50-50 chance of getting AIDS? You'll just put a condom on. Do you see what I'm saying?
Also, the other
we'll
thing...
We'll do the thinking for you.
All right.
We're smarter than you.
That's right.
We'll save you from yourself.
That's right, which we don't like.
I don't like it because then I don't know when to listen and when not to listen.
What's real? Yeah, what's real?
Right. And as far as getting HPV from giving hand jobs, there could be documented cases of this.
But HPV is the most common STD out there, and I've never seen that.
Okay.
And none of my dermatology friends have either.
So rare, it's not worth bringing up.
Probably.
Thank you.
Possibly.
Okay, so there you go, Drew. There you go. Hedging. We'll be back. Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back. Hey, mother effers. It's a Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Drew's in the other room talking on the phone. Not sure who he's talking to or what they're talking about, but I'm sure he'll be in here in just a moment to help fix the kitties, as Dag would say. So in the meantime, let's talk to...
Let's heal some babies!
Oh, yeah, heal some babies. Yeah, babies. Casey?
Hello?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, man, I love you.
I love you, buddy.
I've been listening to you for like 4 years.
Thanks.
You teach me like everything I know about sex.
Oh, Jesus.
They should have that for sex ed. Just listen to Lovine. I'm serious.
All right.
There's this gorgeous girl in my math class, just like traffic stopping, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, we talk like every lunch and stuff and during math class, and she acts like she really likes me, and I'm really good looking too. I'm a model. And, the only problem is that...
How do you model at 16? What do you do?
Gap kids?
No. I'm actually just getting started. Gap porn, Lure in L.A. just signed me.
Faggot better run.
Drew, he's not necessarily gay. I mean, he probably is, but not necessarily.
No,
ooh,
actually,
so you're a model.
Yeah, actually, this girl I just dumped told everybody that I'm gay.
I'll tell you, do you know how much... See, this is a great move for high school. Drew, think about this for a second.
What's that?
Being a model.
Yeah.
Not even... Even if you're not even a good-looking guy, just somehow greasing someone's palm and getting in with some agency, just even if you never got a part,
just to
the buzz could be that he's got, and every day you miss a day of school, like just because you stayed home or you were sick, it'd be like he's probably got some kind of gig in Milan.
Yeah.
And
smart. Okay, yeah. So you're hot, she's hot.
Yeah, and the only problem is she got a boyfriend in the military college.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Military college.
Yeah, in the New Mexico Military Institute.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, and she don't seem... How old is she?
She's 16 also.
Yeah, and she probably doesn't see him too often, right?
No, like every 3 months.
You're calling from Sacramento? He's in New Mexico?
Yeah.
I think you... Look, here's the rule. Anyone you go to school with is fair game.
Right.
Am I right, Drew? If the significant other is not at that school?
Yeah.
Especially if he's too old for her. And
yeah.
He's,
it just sounds like a screwed up situation.
He's halfway across the country. But, just go give it a shot.
Yeah, give it a shot. That's fine.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
She's probably... If there's anything I know, it's wood. I was going to say women.
Three by?
I thought that'd be a lie.
Yeah.
It'd be a total lie. Three. Hey, everyone. If you didn't hear the beginning of the show, Drew said 3x4.
No, I corrected him, just said 3x.
No such thing.
Timber!
Got a great story with my 5/4 and 3/4.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to do that again?
No, but it's one of my favorite conversations in life is how one by, oh, right, I can't even get into it.
I don't respect the storytelling.
All right, I'll tell you off the air, Drew.
Okay.
It's a good story. So here's the dealio. I know chicks, and good-looking chicks at the high school level do not like to go unattended for months on end.
Right. They at least want to have a bullpen going.
They want at least some attention.
Yeah.
They want something.
Yeah.
And if this guy's over in New Mexico, and she's over in Sacramento, and they're not going to get a chance to see each other but every 4 or 5 months, she's going to need some attention in between. And even if she's madly in love with this guy, hot-looking chicks do not, they don't stay faithful this way in these long terms, not in high school.
Mm.
And if this guy's a model,
yeah,
she'll start digging him.
Right.
Melissa?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's the dealio?
Well, when my brother was 7, my mom and my dad split up, and I was 6 at the time, and my brother went with my dad, and I went with my mom. Well, my dad got into drugs really bad, and he was giving them to my brother.
He was giving them to an 8-year-old?
My brother was 7, yeah.
Oh, well, 7, that's different. I thought it was 8. What drugs?
Mostly coke, but he gave him heroin at some
point. He blew heroin in his face, or he shot it in his veins?
Yeah.
He shot an 8-year-old with heroin?
Yeah.
Liar, liar, whore, liar, whore, you know it.
What's up with your dad now?
Well, now, believe it or not, he used to be a cop, but,
Oh, no, I believe that.
No, when my mom left him, he kind of went off the deep end. And
yeah. Who is your mom, a nurse?
No. She lives in Texas.
What does she do for a living?
Hold on a second.
Here we go. What's your mom, a nurse?
No, no. No, she lives in Texas. Yeah. And that's a dry state for nursing.
No, it, I mean, she responded that way as though you'd asked, where does she live? Sacramento?
They don't allow nurses in Texas. Where is he? Who are we talking to? I'm sorry, babe. Drew's making money.
Anyways.
What does she do?
She's an alcoholic.
Does she work?
Probably. I don't know. But anyways.
Okay, you really don't want to answer that question, do you?
I don't really know.
Okay, then just say I don't know.
Okay, I don't know.
Okay. So how do you know that your father injected heroin into your brother when he was 7 years old?
My brother told me, and my dad also admitted to me.
Your dad told you that he injected your brother?
Well, my brother told me about it, and I asked my dad. And my dad said...
I think you have an obligation to call social services, because that is majorly criminal behavior.
As crazy as drug addicts are and everything, one thing they don't usually like to do is share their hard-earned drugs, you know?
I don't know
what
it was.
Weird.
But may I give you a phone number?
It doesn't really matter at this point, because my brother, he lives in Texas with my mom, and he's married and has, you know, his own house and blah, blah, blah.
How's he doing? This is the same brother that was injected by your dad?
Yes.
How's he doing now?
Well, he's addicted to pot, but other than that, he's fine.
My question
was, he shakes. Is it possible he could have got neurologically damaged?
Yeah, it's possible. Just injecting something intravenously into a kid's vein can give you neurologic damage. It's possible.
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I have kind of like a radical sex life, which kind of leads me to my next question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that I could have been sexually abused and not remember?
Yeah, or just coming from that kind of chaos. Again, we've talked today about people that are hyper or hypo-aroused. And when somebody's been stimulated in certain ways at a certain time in their development, they can either go off in a trajectory where sexuality becomes excessively sort of a preoccupation and a way of managing feelings and a way in which feelings are experienced, or it becomes kind of shut down and that part of their brain kind of prunes, reduces its interconnections, and the ability to become aroused is sort of blunted. You've obviously gone the other way, and it doesn't have to be sexual abuse. Just coming from this terribly traumatic family system can do something like that.
Well, the other thing that made me think that was, I've been with a lot of men and women, but I don't let anybody touch me with their hands down there.
Just mouth or penis?
Just the mouth or the...
Probably not the mouth either.
Oh, yeah? Ooh. We should talk. Hey, how about some therapy?
They put me in therapy when I was 10 because I went into foster care.
Right.
And they took me out because they said I didn't need it.
Well, we're telling you to the contrary.
Yeah.
Well, what about SA or a 12-step program? That would be free. It's available. It'd be a nice source of support for you. You could start that right away. Just check out SA, Sexaholics Anonymous.
And look, you didn't need it because they were paying for it. Or because you were, not dangerous to yourself. But you need it. I mean, I didn't have to hear her say more than her first sentence to know she needed it.
Yeah.
Just tons of depression.
Mm.
And, I feel bad. And I think her dad should just be shot. I wonder if he gave him the drugs or not. You'll never know.
Never know.
You know why? It's weird. I for some reason I don't believe it. Not because I'm calling her a liar, just because when you're poor and you got X amount of drugs, you just want them.
Yeah.
You want to do them. Like coke?
Yeah, coke people don't share.
You don't waste it on a kid. Look.
What's the motivation?
You know why you give someone coke or drugs? So you can screw them when you're high. I mean, that's why. If the only reason you're going to share coke is if you can get something. Okay. Drew, you want a tootski?
are you cool?
You cool? We gave my buddy Ray a line of baking soda once.
Oh, God.
Snorted that whole thing up. Took the whole line of baking soda. Yeah. Yeah. He was bugging my other friend. Wanted drugs. Wouldn't give him any. Finally drew him a line of baking soda. It's great. It hurt Great him? To see someone suck up a line of baking soda.
That hurt him?
I mean, why is it? No, it's good for you.
No.
It makes your nose refrigerator fresh.
Oh, my God.
Listen, you could have put an M80 up Ray's ass. He wouldn't have hurt him. It'd be fine. You kidding me? Okay, let's take ourselves a little break.
All right.
We'll come back. We'll talk to Rose, who says she has genital warts from hands, from the hand job. And we'll be back.
We got high?
Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Hey, yeah. Anderson's so busy rocking out, I forgot to push the right button. Get there. Hey, y'all. Loveline. Let's hop back to the phones. And porn star Ron Jeremy in here Thursday night. He's got a lot of personality, that boy.
Personality?
Yeah.
Okay.
I still have his fake penis at my house.
Nice.
As you know, after my maid found it, I hid it. So now they'll just be one of the things they find at my house. But, all right, let's keep powering forward here and speak to Rose, who's 40. Rose?
Hi, Adam and Drew. First of all, thanks so much to both of you for your many gifts, and I've learned a lot from you guys the last 3 years, and you make me laugh every night.
Tickled pink to have you on the air, baby.
Tickled pink. Well, so I'm calling to say that I contracted genital warts while having safe sex. That was 10 years ago.
So from a condom?
Well, I don't know if it was from around the base of his penis or if I touched his penis and then touched my genitals.
Yeah.
That's what the doctor had suggested.
Yeah, but it's pretty... it's not unlikely that you get it while using a condom, particularly if you had visible warts present.
The doctor, though, suggested that maybe you had touched it and touched yourself, and that's how you contracted it?
Yes, and I've always thought that's what happened.
Hmm.
Well,
you tell me. I don't know.
Well, the discussion we were having earlier was about actually getting warts, actual warts on your hand.
And then you followed with an HPV transmission discussion that didn't mention that if he has warts, a condom isn't going to necessarily keep you safe.
That's no, right. we didn't. Although Drew has oftentimes said that...
It's a risk reduction.
Yeah, that it doesn't cover necessarily the infected area completely.
And I made sure I point out to that caller that she get him to control the warts, because if he has lots of warts and tries to use a condom, then forget it. It's not going to work.
I here's the thing about the warts, as far as I can tell there, Rose,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't have, by the way. Drew, shine a flashlight
on
my penis.
Night. I know
yes,
that you
it was very uncomfortable.
You didn't have them at that time.
It was a stunt penis.
Right, very low mileage.
Suspicious.
You know,
well,
my
depends on which mileage you're counting.
My penis still has the original wrapping it came in.
You've taken that off long ago.
No. I mean, I wore it off in my own hands, but... But here's what I think. And Drew, you stop me if I'm wrong. The warts are a bit of a mystery. And they vary. They seem to vary.
Yeah.
Some people may be contagious throughout the time that they have these warts, which could be forever.
Yep.
Some people don't seem to be as contagious.
Yep.
Some people seem maybe more receptive to getting them.
That's
Other
right.
people seem to have some sort of immunity to them.
It's
I mean,
virus.
Lord knows... If you were a person that was receptive to these things, you'd have them by now.
Yeah. You have them in your hands, maybe even.
If you just traveled through and led your life in your normal, active, hetero or gay, male or female, if you were someone who was receptive to this, you would probably have it.
Yep.
But for some reason, some people don't get them. And for some reason, people aren't allergic to bee stings.
Yep.
And some people die. There's things you can do to prevent them, but I think there's still an element of mystery to this.
Mm-hmm.
And so all you can do is try to cover your bases, be as safe as you can within reason, and then if you get them after that, it's God's will. Or actually, God's wrath. Right?
Yeah, God's punishing you, yes.
Yeah. You don't hear about God's wrath quite as much
Not
as
quite
you used
so
to.
Much.
I'd like to bring that back. All right, let's talk to... Allah due to step in, by the way, any day now. I just heard it on Reuters.
Good.
With the Taliban.
Nice.
Any second now. Any day. John?
Yeah.
You're 35?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Appreciate y'all taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I had this job to where I was the lead
over top of a certain amount of people, and this one of the persons that I was over top of when I was a kid, he had molested me basically. I woke up and after partying and stuff, and he was he was going at it on me, you know.
Was he older than you or younger?
Yeah, he was a lot older than me.
A lot older.
How old 16. Were you at the time? How old?
I was 16 at the time, and he was around about 40, I'd say, or 38, you know, around that area, 38, 40. Wow.
And now this guy's in his 50s?
Yeah, he's up there now. Oh, 60s. And, 60. Around the retirement age, I guess, and, you know, I mean, I pretty much blocked it out and everything, but... you know, this job I held was, you know, for 2 years, and towards the end of it, I found out that he was the person that you know, that did that to me.
Well, how'd you find that out?
Actually, my cousin, he worked there. He came to work there as well, and he came up and said, you know, don't you remember that guy?
Well, did he do anything to your cousin?
No, I don't think so.
And what'd he do to you?
Well, he was giving me a BJ.
Oh. Oh, okay. No, that's bad. And you were how old?
16.
16? Yeah. And you got drunk and passed out?
Yeah.
And that's the one time it happened with him?
Yeah, that's the only time it happened with him. Me.
What kind of work is it?
Publishing.
All right. Do you think this has affected your life too much?
I kind of think it did.
How? What'd it do?
Well, you know, I kind of dropped out of school and took off. I took his car, and after that happened, I took his car and crashed down some mailboxes and left it sitting out on Georgia Line. And I mean, just after that, it's
all right, so
drugs and stuff like that.
All right, but you paid him back as far as screwing his car up, right?
Yeah, if you call a car that counting, but.
Listen, I mean, here's the thing, and pardon me for being insensitive, but...
I got screwed out of my education, basically, on account of...
Something tells me you weren't heading for Harvard anyway.
But what are you going to do? You can't take this into your own hands.
I've done plenty, I mean, since, but, I mean...
You can't take the law...
I would have.
Listen, you can't take the law into your own hands. If you want to report this, you can.
Oh, wait a second. Look, I'd like to talk him out of this just a little bit. Hey, you jump in and tell me...
What's he going to accomplish?
Don't tell me where I'm wrong, Drew.
What's that?
John, hold on a second. This guy's a criminal. And this guy's an idiot and an a-hole and all that kind of stuff. But what he did to you is bad and is wrong. I don't think it's going to ruin you. It should ruin your life. It shouldn't have gotten you to drop out of school and to freak out and get on drugs. If this had happened continuously, or at least more than once, and it happened when you were 11 years old, that would have been something else. To happen one time at 16 when you were loaded should not have sent you into this kind of tailspin. Shouldn't have been good for you. You should have all kinds of feelings about it, but should not be the reason your life didn't go the way as planned. Do you agree with that, Drew, or disagree with that? And stop tying your sweatpants when I'm talking.
I agree.
16, one time.
But that's not, that's sort of...
Well, I'm trying to talk him out, first of, blaming all the... Because, look, if this guy is the reason you didn't get your education and the reason you got arrested five times and the reason you got thrown out of the house, then you should kill him. But I don't think he's the reason. He didn't help.
He precipitated something.
I really don't know if you know, I tried to do the better things in your sense, but I mean, I don't know if that was the reason. That's
but there isn't. Here's what I'm pointing is. There's no one reason.
Right.
There's no one incident that could make you do this.
That might have been the straw that broke the camel's back.
This guy wasn't any help, but I'm guessing there are many other issues in your life.
And you were already getting loaded and passing out at 16.
You were 16, you were loaded and passed out... In this guy's...
Well, I shouldn't have been, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, before this, it's not like you're on the honor roll. Were you?
Well, yeah, no, I guess.
No, okay. So, here's what I'm saying, John. You could do something to him. You already destroyed the guy's car. You could go up and attack him or do something to him, and then you could really have your life ruined. by going in jail for 15 years.
That's my point. You don't want to take this into your own hands. You could call authorities. You could bring it up again. But the probability of them being able to do anything this far after the fact would be pretty slim.
I think when you say that this guy ruined your life, you give him too much power.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. No, I agree. It also diverts him from looking at the more significant issues that might have been going along at the same time.
Yeah, and you're
putting it all on that.
Okay, real fast here. Who
Bear,
is this?
Bear.
This is Bear. Hey.
Hey, Bear.
How are you guys?
Good. You're 22. What's up?
Thanks for getting me on. I talked to Dr. Drew today about my panic attacks, and I had one more question I didn't get to discuss. I have sand rails and toys like that.
Yeah.
And
Drew doesn't know what a sand rail is.
Well, yeah.
Hold on, let's have fun, Drew.
It's a doom.
Drew, don't spoil it for me. Drew, a sand rail?
Okay.
Sanding machine?
Don't know what a sand rail is?
It's a dune buggy.
It's like a dragster dune buggy.
So, I talked to you about loving life and all this good stuff, right, today?
Yeah.
I have this sand rail, right? Already does 170 miles an hour.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. I get lots of people that can vouch for it.
No, hold on. There's no sand rail that does 170 miles an hour.
Bet you anything.
What kind of engines are having it?
2020 triple Weber carburetors.
2020 what?
It's a Volkswagen.
No.
Dude, they got one that does the quarter mile at 190 miles an hour.
Oh, on sand?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. All right. I'm with you.
Let me get to my
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay,
I'm with
so...
you.
Is this a, like my own way of going back and making up for not doing drugs to want to go faster?
Right, absolutely. What we see when people come off drugs in their first few years, people that don't get into sobriety and try to give up drugs will try to stimulate that same part of their brain with things other than drugs. So you'll see thrill-seeking behaviors, extreme sports, sex, gambling, those sorts of things will be very compulsed and directed.
After I had talked to you and gotten the bad news that ecstasy's kind of screwed up and you don't get your life back for a while.
Yeah.
I went and put nitrous in it today.
Oh, I was just about to ask you. You got to put nitrous in your Volkswagen engine?
Yeah.
It didn't have nitrous. It was naturally aspirated. It wasn't turbocharged or blown or anything?
Turbocharged.
It was turbocharged.
Yeah.
All right, no.
12-step. Okay. 12-step. That's the answer.
Yeah, that's the answer. Hold on. How many pounds of boost?
Probably 8 right now.
That's it?
8 or 9.
It's not near enough. We'll be back. All right. Fruit in the middle.
Fruit in the middle.
Fruit in the middle. Climbing the charts. The bullet.
That's right. Fruit in the middle. That about sums it up, doesn't it?
We will take look. Some a yogurt company will come out with fruit in the middle in the next 18 months. Mark my words. And then people will conveniently forget about...
Like a girl with a big butt, but fruit in the middle. It's juicy. It's sweet.
That'll be dancing to this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Down the street, see a nice blind. I'll run behind a building to beat off.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.